Hey guys, before we get into episode one of my podcast, I kind of want to just give a little bit of an introduction on what it is. But basically, for the last few years, I've kind of always wanted a platform to kind of just speak, whether it be about sport, music, or like my friends and like what's going on in their life. But basically, I just really wanted to fire it up. So here's episode one. I'm going to try and do episodes every like week or so, just based on what I'm interested in and like what I kind of like feel like speaking about. But yeah, Yags was a great first episode, and I hope you guys enjoy. Welcome to the first episode of The Landing. I'm Oliver Landos and I'm here with Oscar Jaeger.
Thanks for having me, Landy. Very excited to review and preview the playoffs.
Thanks for coming on. Let's get into it. So first up, I want to talk about the MVP with Jokic seemingly kind of locking it up based on like basically who was like left alive.
Last man standing.
Yeah, exactly. But what do you think of Jokic winning and like how do you kind of like see who would be like second, third, fourth?
Well, I think he's probably, yeah, justified due to, as you said, he's sort of like the last man standing. You know, LeBron was the early leader and then he's just missed too many games. Embiid was sort of the next guy and then he missed a lot of games.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think when Murray went down, everyone sort of thought Denver would slip down the standings, but they've been just as good, if not better, with Jokic just dominating. So I think I think he's a deserved winner if he gets it. And second and third, I'll probably have Embiid second. Like the Sixers, they're going to finish first in the East, which is a good achievement considering the Nets' firepower and you know how consistent the Bucks are.
Yep.
And third, I reckon
maybe Dame. He kind of dropped off down the end.
Probably CP3, to be honest.
Yep.
He's lifted the Suns from, like, they haven't won a playoff game in like 10 plus years.
And been in the playoffs in like,
yeah, exactly. 10 years. And he's sort of lifted them from being like a average to, you know, it's talented young team to being this contender. And they're about to get the second seed in the West, which is no small
achievement. Well, I reckon I agree with you in regards to the Jokic. In like when Jamal Murray went down, it was kind of like a pivotal few games where I was just like, oh, okay. Say if Denver had gone to the shit, they dead set like dropped down and like lost a few games. But instead, like I'm pretty sure they went 9-1 or something like that over the next 10 games. And it kind of like solidified him as like the MVP favorite. And like with Embiid coming back, kind of the pressure was on. But he stood up and I agree with that as well. In regards to my kind of like top like three or five, I'd probably have a pretty similar. I think Dame was like probably like second or third, maybe like a month or two ago. But he's kind of dropped off. Just kind of like, I don't know, maybe he's getting a bit older and he's just not able to kind of like run out the season as much as he used to. Steph is an interesting one. I think there's too low on the standings to be able to kind of be considered. And then Giannis is obviously the other one who, unfortunately for him, if you win two MVPs in a row, you're just basically taken out of consideration if your team's doing well again. And I thought he's like had a really great year as well. But I also think that could help him coming into the playoffs as being a bit more low-key.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he flew under the radar about this year because, like, as you said, he's been that good. But yeah, I feel like with the MVP, people get bored. It's like LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have LeBron just winning every year, so there's, like, always a new narrative.
Well, really, it's just a storyline, kind of. And, like, obviously, LeBron won a lot in his prime. And then now, like, the storyline is, oh, should he get an MVP later on in his career? Yeah. Like, kind of like a Twilight MVP.
Yeah.
So, kind of, it's all about just the storyline. All right, and talking about the regular season, what would be like your kind of like biggest surprises for the year, whether that's a team, whether that's a player, like what's your like kind of like general
thinking? I think this is a team and a player. I think my New York Knicks,
here we go,
and Julius Randle is the player. I think the Knicks probably, like, my expectations going into the season would have been like, would have been happy with, I don't know, like 11th or 12th in the East, because if you look at that squad, there's like not that much talent in it, apart from Randle. Obviously, RJ Barrett's like stepped up his game, which is great to see. And then, you know, you've got like a whole bunch of vets and sort of weird role players.
Yep.
But yeah, I think like Randle's sort of, he'd probably be fifth in my MVP vote if I had one, because, you know, they're going to finish between fourth
true,
and
that's
sixth.
Another
in
one.
The
yep,
East.
Definitely.
He's averaging like 24, 10, and 5, which is just insane. you know, that's like LeBron-esque numbers.
Yeah.
For a guy that's, you know, been sort of inconsistent his whole career, but this year he's put it all together. And then, yeah, the Knicks themselves, I don't think anyone thought, like, I think everyone thought Tibbs was done. Like,
he hasn't. Yeah, well, I just, that's what I was going to say, is that, like, I love kind of how the Knicks are just kind of just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Like, they're just a bunch of kind of random personalities. Yeah. And you've had, like, D. Rose coming, like, coming back like, good again, and just, like, I don't know, like, a real credit to him to kind of, like, stick with it. Because, like, I remember a mate of mine went to America in 2018. We saw D. Rose play for the Timberwolves a pre-game, and dead set, I've never seen someone sweat more in a pre-game. So, he, like, geez, he's, like very motivated and, like, continues to, like, get at it, and like it's really awesome to say.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like sometimes you'll see him play and you'll like be reminded of like the early Bulls days
when he was the MVP. Absolute freak.
Because like he has moments where he still like can be the best player on the court for like a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. He's still, exactly.
And he just obviously doesn't have the pace he used to, but he's still such a smart basketballer, and he's he's like, as you said, he just tries so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
A bit like Westbrook, he just like never gives up.
Exactly, exactly. And I've loved watching the Knicks, and I think they're really going to be dependent on kind of RJ Barrett in the next few years to take that a kind of extra leap. Like he's shown like glimpses throughout the year, but he'll need to kind of take a next step. A big surprise to me is I think we have to talk about Utah. Obviously, like they've got quite a stacked roster, but like I really think, unfortunately, Donovan Mitchell's been a bit injured the last few weeks. But like I think they've been like really impressive this year, and they have a lot to prove in regards to coming into the playoffs, because there's in recent years they've had a kind of a similar vibe to kind of like the Atlanta Hawks of like, what was it, 2015-16, where they were kind of winning regular season games, but as soon as they came to the playoffs, they just didn't have that person to step up. I think Donovan Mitchell's back in the next week, or maybe a week from now. So hopefully he can fire up for the playoffs, because I feel like he can be a closer, because we did see last year in the playoffs, he kind of fired off in that opening series against Denver. It was him and Jamal Murray going at it. But overall, like I think they've been really impressive. Bogdanovich has been huge, because obviously they didn't have him last year. And obviously Rudy Gobert has just been solid as per usual.
Yeah, and like Ingles as well. Like they've just got these like pieces that just fit. And I think they'll be different to that Hawks team of a few years ago, because they have Mitchell,
who's
like a closer, and just, you know, like he's like a mixture of like Dame and Westbrook. He's got this, he can shoot, but he can also get to the rim, and he's like
bit of Dwayne Wade in him as well.
Yeah, that's a great call. I feel like I don't think they can win it all, just because there's not someone enough to help Mitchell. Like Gobert's a stud, but he's
they need Conley to fire up. He's been better this year, but I do think that he also just isn't what he was, because he used to give me demons in like 2015.
Yeah,
like that Memphis team with he was really good.
Yeah, and I guess another surprise is how bad the Celtics have been.
Yeah, yeah. That's, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I just sort of, I think everyone thought, like, you know, they made the conference finals last year.
Yeah.
Lost to the Heat.
Yeah.
So everyone's sort of thinking, you know, they've been around that mark. They've made like four East finals in the past 5 years or something. And you're sort of thinking, well, these guys, Tatum and Brown, are just going to get better. They're still so young. So you're sort of thinking that it's got on this upward trajectory.
Yeah.
But this has been like a pretty rotten season for them.
Yeah, like obviously they've dealt with a few kind of like, they had a few COVID issues earlier on and stuff like that. But overall, like, and Kemba, but like he's kind of, it's a given that he's injured these days.
Yeah.
But he actually has been decent like recently. But I just think Tatum and Brown, they just don't complement each other very well. Mm. Like as much as it, like it looks amazing when they're both firing, because you're just like, oh, who do we give the ball to? Let's just score every time. But if like they're slightly off or just not like knocking down their shots, they just like look a bit kind of like it's just a bit too much isolation play. It just means it's like it's quite rigid to watch, and overall just doesn't really like work, because like and I think Marcus Smart's kind of been a bit disappointing as well. Like
he's
like someone that who I reckon would be amazing at the Celtics would be someone like Draymond Green. Just someone that like doesn't really care about, like, which is similar to Marcus Smart in a way, but Marcus Smart is kind of like a somewhat like a less of a facilitator than Draymond Green, but like thinks he's like
the guy.
What it would be like if Draymond Green thought he was like a really good shooter, it would just look awful, because he's just jacking too many shots.
Yeah.
And I think they really need to look for someone like that, especially in this off season. But I think like overall they're just don't, Tatum and Brown just don't really complement each other at the moment. And I think they're lacking, yeah, like some sort of facilitator, some sort of even like a Rondo, but like, yeah, but like
I agree.
something like that.
I think like even Kemba, like he's obviously like a good point guard, but you don't think of him as like a pass first point guard. He's more of a shooter.
All, yeah.
And yeah, like that's actually a great point. Like they need someone who can, you know, even like a like Draymond would be perfect because, yeah, like Tatum and Brown aren't like great passers.
Yeah.
So they literally don't have anyone to sort of get the play offense going, especially from half court.
Yeah.
So yeah, they could use a lot, and also their bench these days is just depleted. Like they don't have it.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago, they used to have this nice stacked bench. Like Smart was coming off the bench, you know, with like Tice and all these guys. Ojale was playing well.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, who are they bringing off the bench? Like,
well, that I actually have no idea. Yeah. But that was like in like 2016, 2017, that was their issue, was that they batted too deep.
Yeah, exactly.
As in, like, they didn't have a defined kind of, like, five or, like, six, but, like, they literally just, like, you had a bunch of, kind of, like, unhappy players because, like, they all wanted minutes. Like, yeah. you had Rozier coming off the bench and stuff like that. Like, yeah, and, like, he's, like, pretty good now. But, yeah, I think they've been disappointing, and we'll get into, like, the actual playoff picture in a second. I think... The Jaylen Brown injury might be a bit of like a scapegoat for them in regards to this.
Yeah, it could be a bit
like,
of a blessing in disguise.
Exactly. Another team I'd like to talk about is... there's not much to say about the Hawks, to be honest. I think they're just like got quite a stacked roster. I don't think there's not like exactly that much to talk about. A few of the younger players have developed. Like Trae Young's kind of like... I kind of like Trae Young's season this year. It's less like stats-based, but it's more just like actually making more of the right play.
Mm.
I think that's been like their kind of like how they've taken the next step. Do you have any comments on the Hawks?
I think like when they fired the coach, Lloyd, can't remember his last name. When they made that like firing, they were doing really badly. And since they've got Nat McMillan in, they've just been a lot better.
I love him. I really like him.
He's, I don't know why the Pacers got rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've just sort of improved and all of a sudden they're what, like fifth or fourth in the East?
Yeah, fourth.
And the signing of Bogdanović, I think, was also
the
key.
Yeah.
Because like he's always been such a talent in Sacramento. But yeah, they've just got so much shooting.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, in 2 or 3 years, they could be a real force in the East once, you know, they all develop and get bigger and stronger.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, they're an exciting team.
Yeah, and last one is like the Suns. So I think their kind of like biggest kind of improvement is obviously CP3. But in regards to, and I'm going to kind of reference this back to the Warriors, is that like the Warriors' issue at the moment is that whenever Steph's off, it's just like, shit, who's going to carry us? Or who's going to actually,
like
who's going to lead us?
If Steph was injured, you'd probably be the worst side in the whole league.
Exactly. And who's going to lead us? But like with the Suns, in the like recent years, it's been like, all right, when Booker's off, and obviously Booker isn't Steph, but when Booker's off, it's just like, okay, unless someone just like happens to like have like a nice like good few minutes, like they just can't actually like kind of get those minutes at like at least for the Warriors, it's the start of the second quarter where Steph's off, and then like the start of the fourth quarter, and like the commentators literally call it the Stephless minutes. So like it's like a countdown of like when Steph's gonna come back on.
Yeah.
And I think with the Suns adding CP3, it means that they can kind of like stagger it in a way that they've always got one of them on. And it just means that like this, like whenever like CP3 is running the points, it's like everyone's so composed and everyone's just in the right position. So I think they've been really impressive. But in regards to like actually just winning games, like they're second seed and like they've, I reckon, had a great year, and I hope they actually like do a bit in the playoffs. But yeah, again, we'll get to that in a second. They might get stitched up with their playoff schedule.
Yeah.
We may as well get into the playoffs now. So we're obviously recording this on the Thursday night, the 13th of May, before the playoffs. And we're going to kind of go off like what the standings are right now, but obviously it's subject to change. From the last 3 or 4 games of the year. So we'll start with the West. So at the moment, the West play-in would be Spurs versus Memphis for the 9th v 10th, and then the Warriors v Lakers for the 7th v 8th. And obviously, for those, if you don't know how it works, it's basically the winner of the 9th versus 10th plays the loser of the 7th and 8th. And obviously, the winner of the 7th and 8th takes the 7th spot, and then the winner of that 9th v 10th versus the 8th gets that last spot. Jesus, awful explanation, but you get it. So what are your thoughts on Spurs Memphis? I think it's
I think Memphis just too talented. San Antonio, like, you know, they'll try their heart out because of Pop, and they do have some good young pieces, but yeah, I think like Memphis, they like nearly made the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
they'll be like really itching to get there this year, and I think they'll
they lost the play-in, didn't they? They lost to the Blazers, didn't they?
I think they'll be itching to get there. You know, I think they've just got too much talent for the Spurs, and they'll also be thinking that they could, you know, potentially play the Warriors in the next play-in game, and they think
they'll back themselves in that. Yeah, like they've got a kind of a pretty deep roster, like quietly.
Yeah.
So just generally, I know you can kind of get a general kind of vibe off a team just kind of by watching them. Memphis just seem quite fired up.
Mm.
In regards to the Spurs, they seem like slightly defeated. Not exactly like the Memphis have a more defined kind of future, and like,
yeah,
and definitely. I think they've got like Ja Morant just seems like pretty like kind of like toeyed, like generally just like make an impact on the league. Mm. So I think they'll be keen to kind of like really kind of like play hard against the Spurs, and I agree that Memphis will probably win. And then we'll have the Warriors versus Lakers in the 7th v 8th.
Well, I think that'll be like, it'll be such good TV, and the ratings will be through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, Steph, LeBron.
Steph AD. V LeBron, it's back.
Yeah. But except this time, Steph doesn't have any help.
Yeah.
So I think, and also I think the Lakers are a matchup nightmare for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to guard AD? Who's going to guard LeBron?
to be fair, no one can guard AD when he's healthy. To be fair,
and no one can guard LeBron. But yeah, I think like that'll be it'll be a great game to watch, because I think Steph will probably go off, and hopefully like Draymond, like he's actually had a few good months, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that like it could be a close game, but I think as long as LeBron is playing, but if he doesn't play, then it's a totally different ball game.
Yeah,
I think the Lakers will win that, and then that'll be a Grizzlies Warriors for the last spot.
Yeah, I probably agree. I think obviously it's heavily like health dependent, because obviously LeBron didn't play today, and he's meant to be back in the next, he's like day to day, but it's just, and obviously out of anyone you'd back LeBron to kind of like be able to come back from an injury and just like not miss a beat.
Yeah,
but like unfortunately he might like just feel a bit off the pace, because obviously they lost to, who was it, Sacramento last week when he came back, and like said, who knows, like it might struggle a bit, but other than that I don't really see the Warriors winning, unless Steph has 50. But even then, like, you'd need Wiggins to have 25 plus, and like, you
need like a triple double from Draymond.
Yeah, exactly. You're just really relying on just a lot of kind of like edgy players that just like sometimes can bring it, but like overall it's not. So then you'd have Memphis versus the Warriors.
Yeah,
for the eighth spot.
Yeah, I think like that'd actually be a really good game.
Yeah,
because I think you could argue Memphis are a better like all round team.
Yeah,
but Golden State would have easily the best star player on the court.
Yeah.
And yeah, that could go. That'd actually be a 50-50. You'd back Steph and the Warriors just because of their like history and their credentials. But yeah, that'd be a great game. And then I think whoever won that would think there is some sort of chance to like they'll play Utah, which is probably a better result than playing a lot of other potential top seeds.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Steph would think like we can beat Utah.
Yeah, definitely. Especially depending on Donovan Mitchell's health as well, I think would like be more of a chance. Like exactly. we beat the Jazz the other day, so that was a good result. And then we'll go to the East. So we'll have Pacers Wizards in the 9th v 10th game. What do you think of that?
I think the Pacers have just been, they've had like a really disappointing season, and I think that they've looked sort of lost all year.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the Wizards would win that pretty easily, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's a one-off basketball game, so you're never really too sure. But I think the Wizards are, like, in great form. I think they started the season 3-15.
No.
So since then, they've actually been, like, above 500.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've actually had a really good season since Westbrook and Beal have clicked.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're pretty exciting to watch because Westbrook's just doing his thing. He's back. His mojo's back.
He's unbelievable at the moment. Yeah. I'm literally, like, tuning into a lot more Wizards games than I usually would.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing about the playing game is, like, the fact that you get a chance to see, like, you want Beal and Westbrook in the playoffs, or at least have a chance at it. So just because they started the season really badly, the playing game gives them the chance to make the playoffs. So I think they'll beat the Pacers. What about you?
The Pacers, for me, are a similar vibe to the Spurs in regards to just, like, they've got a few pieces like a DeRozan, like a what's his name? Starts with S.
Sabonis.
Yeah. Miles Turner. Like, yeah, they've got these like these pieces, but they just don't really seem to have an identity as much. Yeah. Whereas I think the Wizards, they've got a bit more like a bit more personality, yeah. a bit more star power. So I think they would have to win that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'd definitely like pick the Wizards overall in that game. And then we'd have Celtics Hornets.
Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward against their old team.
Yeah, legit.
I think that'd be close, but yeah, I think the way Boston are trending, they're just in this downward spiral.
Yeah.
I have a feeling like that the Hornets would get them there. LaMelo's back. He's probably like the most exciting player on the court in that game.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Tatum, but I feel like LaMelo's just gonna be a superstar in a few years' time. And I feel like, yeah, the Hornets would think, like, why can't we beat the Celtics?
Yeah, I agree.
The Celtics have been awful for a few months now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'd be back in the Hornets there.
Yeah, well, I reckon, because I've seen, like, a lot of people say that, like, a playoff game, which obviously it's a play-in, but it's the equivalent to a playoff game, is, like, the team with the best player wins. Mm. But Tatum would have to do quite a lot in this game for them to win. I think he'd have to have 35 plus at least, but yeah, I think the Hornets have actually looked pretty decent even without like LaMelo in the last, because he was out for like two months or something like that. So they've actually like done well to even stay in the race, because I think like there was a period of time where the Wizards looked like they were going to catch and knock it, and like most people would have tipped the Hornets to drop off, but they've actually kind of stabilized and done well. But I'm going to go with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Just based on just star power, I just think the Hornets, geez, it would be mint if Scary Terry.
Like, yeah, he went
like,
off.
Went off and like just went at Tatum and whatever. Yeah, but I just think I'm gonna back kind of the Celtics, just like a bit more players with like a few more playoff like games under their belt.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm gonna back the Celtics, but I don't think it wouldn't surprise me if the Hornets win.
Yeah.
So based off that, we've put together the playoff picture. And how did you want to do this? Do you want to do it like series by series and just like a quick
tip? What about, hang on, we've got to do the last play-in gap for the
East. Oh, true, like, true. Oh, yeah.
I'd have Wizards, Hornets. No, Wizards, Celtics.
Yeah.
And the Hornets going through, and you'd have Hornets, Wizards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that would be... Oh, wait, say it again. I'm actually finally confused.
My plan game would be the last one for the 8th spot would be Celtics Wizards.
Yeah, and mine would be
Hornets Wizards.
Yep.
Because you've got Boston going through.
Exactly. I'm taking the Wizards.
Yeah.
I want the Wizards. I don't know if that's like just like who I want, but like I'd overall back the Wizards over. I think the way that Westbrook's playing at the moment, but also is very dependent on how Beal is, because obviously he strained his hamstring the other day. And he's not playing for the next two games, I think. So he probably won't play for the regular season, but I think if Beal plays, Wizards win.
Yeah, and like I think if you've got Hornets playing the Wizards, like the Wizards would have the two best players on the court.
Yeah.
And for the Celtics, if they play the Celtics, I think like they've got two of the best three players on the court, because Brown's not playing obviously.
Yeah.
I think they've just got a bit too much star power, and they're just in form, and like, is there a player you want more than Westbrook in a one-off game? Just because you know he's going to go at 150%, run into a brick wall for you.
Have a 30-point triple-double, yeah, and just exactly. Steam off, yeah.
At the same time, he could completely do his nuts and go like 0 for 20 shooting.
Exactly.
But
that's why we love him.
Exactly.
yeah, so I reckon I'd take the Wizards if Beal plays. Are you the same?
Yeah, I'm Wizards against the Celtics.
Okay. And that brings us to the playoff picture. I can we'll just kind of maybe go series by series and just do a couple comments or whatever.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the East. Sixers versus the Wizards is who we'd have. So what's your kind of like first kind of like thought?
Well, I think that would be like, it'd actually be a good series to watch.
Yeah.
Because I think the Sixers are way better, but you'd have like four like superstars on that court. And like Westbrook will think he's the best player on the court. He'll go hard at Simmons. He'll be talking shit to Embiid, like it'll be pretty mint series.
Even if they're down 20.
Yeah, exactly. I think Philly would probably win 4-1, maybe 4-2 if Beal and Westbrook keep up this form. But I think Philly are like pretty stacked, and they're, you know, they've probably been the best team in the league all year. Them or the Jazz, consistency wise. So
yeah, I've yeah. Like I'm interested. Like for some reason, I don't particularly love watching them.
No. They're hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
Simmons and Embiid still don't quite click.
Embiid's like kind of fire, but like I enjoy watching Embiid, especially because he's just like kind of a bit of a comedian. Like he loves to carry on a lot. Yeah. But with Simmons, like I sometimes find him a bit like kind of like awkward to watch.
Because he can be like, he has games where you think he's like the best player ever.
But then like,
and then he goes really passive sometimes. He doesn't like attack the rim. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, you can't shoot, so you have to attack the rim.
And you're enormous.
Yeah,
literally exactly. Just like, yeah. I love watching him on a fast break, but I think overall, like, they're just like, yeah, a bit kind of like awkward to watch sometimes. I do think they win that series comfortably. Like, one of those ones where like maybe like they might go up 3-0 and then drop one or two games and just kind of like, just because they kind of like lose, like they've already moved on mentally. But yeah, I think the Sixers take care of them very well.
Yeah.
All right, and then we've got Nets versus Hornets.
Yeah. I reckon that would be a pretty amazing series. You got like the Hornets. Well, sorry, not amazing series. I think that'd be a pretty one-sided series.
Yeah, I think that's probably the worst series out of the...
It'd just be like a good sort of test for the Hornets, some good experience.
Yeah, but I think it's an important series for them to have.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of these
It'd be good guys. To see them playing against, you know, three of the biggest names in basketball.
If they play.
Yeah,
Because again, Kyrie went out yesterday with a face. It's got whacked in the face of something.
I think like the Nets are just, they're so jacked that as long as they've, even if they've got one of them, one of them out there, they're probably still too good for the Hornets.
Yeah.
Maybe if like for some reason Harden and Durant were injured,
yeah,
the Hornets might be a chance against like just Kyrie and Bruce Brown and like a few other role players. But yeah, I feel like as long as there's two of them out there,
they're just too good. I've got a question for you. So with the Nets, if you had to pick two out of the three, who would you feel most kind of safe in their kind of like ability to like win games if you can only pick two out of the three?
You definitely, one of them has to be KD.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter as much who's with him. Yeah. But probably KD and Harden.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking Harden as well.
If KD got injured for the rest of the year and it was Harden and Kyrie, then all of a sudden like I'd be tipping like Philly or Bucks when they're easily.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as KD is there, I think they're fine.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a test for the Nets as well if they're just kind of their durability, because the games obviously in the first couple of rounds are like closer to like they space them out further in the conference finals and the finals.
Yeah.
But like they'll play every other day. So like this is really going to test them, but I think they easily take care of the Hornets.
Yeah.
And then we've got Bucks Knicks. Give us something. What are you, any hope in that series as a Knicks fan? Or
see, like, what do you got? I think it was 2 days ago we were going to be playing the Hawks. We were the fourth seed and they were the fifth seed. Now, because it's so tight, it's all flipped around.
Yeah.
I think the Bucks is just a bridge too far. Like, the Knicks have had a great season, like a feel-good story, but we just don't have the talent to go with the Bucks. You know, who's guards Giannis? No one can guard him. I think we could get a game, but yeah, I'd be thinking like 4-1 Bucks. And then the Knicks win one at home with Julius going off. But yeah, sadly.
It's frustrating because like you kind of want these teams that kind of like have a really nice storyline throughout the year to win a series. Yeah, so you want them to kind of like be, they had like a first round win and whatever. But like, I saw it because they clinched their playoff spot today. I saw like the last Knicks team was the 2012-13 team. Yeah. And I've loved that team. Yeah. Like a bit of Steve Novak. I've got his jersey. So I'm keen to see the Knicks fire up. And hopefully the crowds, they can keep increasing them.
Yeah, exactly.
As more people get vaccinated.
The garden firing up for a playoff game. It's been a while.
A lot.
Yeah.
I'd take the Bucks in that series as well. I just don't think they can. I think the Bucks have too much firepower, unfortunately.
And they're in form now. Like the past 2 months have been like winning a lot of games.
Yeah, they're looking good. They're looking good. And then we've got Hawks Heat.
This would probably be the best series in the East because I think it would actually be quite close. I think the Hawks could push them, and Miami is sort of a weird one because they had such a mint season last year. You know, they made the finals, they pushed the Lakers to 6 games, but now this year they've had a weird year. They haven't made the next step sort of consistency wise, and like guys like Tyler Hero have sort of dropped off a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
But Butler and Bam are still playing mint basketball. And I think just because they've got Spoelstra, I think, and the Hawks are inexperienced, I think the Heat would win six or seven.
Yeah, 6 or 7, really. Yeah, I've got them winning in 5 or 6.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like, I think the Heat have looked a bit better recently. I just, Tyler Hero is the one that has been disappointing like after his playoffs last year, which is interesting to think about. Talking about like how in the bubble they were playing in empty gyms, so it's kind of like a, and obviously they're still like mainly playing like empty like arenas, but like there's still like that element of just like those younger players being a bit more nervous playing in like an arena compared to like just like a COVID bubble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Heat take care of the Hawks. I just don't see this Hawks team, as much as like they've won like quite a few games this year, I just don't think that they'll be able to like kind of beat like a Jimmy Butler led team or like a team like Bam and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, I think overall those, the first round of the East is probably a bit like one sided.
Yeah.
All the favourites will probably win. But yeah.
Which is different to the West.
Yeah, the West is exciting.
We'll get to that now. So 1v8 would be Jazz versus Warriors. My initial thoughts would be, again, a lot of these are health dependent. And a Jazz team with Donovan Mitchell, I think they win with like a semi, like 80% healthy Donovan Mitchell, like 85% healthy Donovan Mitchell, win that series like 4-1. Mm-hmm. Maybe Steph shoots them into one win.
Yeah.
But I think if Donovan Mitchell misses a couple games or something like that, or he comes back just not really like doing like feeling great on his ankle or whatever, I think the Warriors could maybe push them to 6. But like other than that, I don't really see them much having it, like having much of a chance. It's based on just how deep the Jazz are. They've just got like a lot of kind of like solid guys that will always give them like Bogdanovich will give you like his 20, and then like. You got like Conley, who'll give you like 15, 20, and then you got Rudy Gobert giving you like 20 rebounds and 10 points. Blocks, like, it's just like, I just feel like they're way more of just kind of like a setup team compared to the Warriors.
Well, yeah, and like they've had this team for like 3 or 4 years now. I think that's why they're blossoming.
Yeah.
Because they've just got the best chemistry in the league, probably.
Yeah.
Because they've been playing for so long together. And yeah, I agree. I think the Warriors could win a game or two. But I think Utah just have... They have too much depth.
Yeah.
Like, and as you said, like they probably have the team that doesn't have a player that ever lets them down.
Yeah,
like, exactly. You can't really think of a Utah player who's, you know, like, bricking it. Maybe Clarkson could, but...
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that much because Ingles will step up or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Utah just... They're so deep. They've got so much firepower, and I think, yeah, they'd win... Yeah, 4-1, maybe 4-2 if Steph goes sort of nuclear.
Yeah. But, I think their issue is going to be, like, they don't have that player that can... As you said that everyone's like, and we both said that everyone's kind of like solid, and they have that like really strong base level, but they don't. Donovan Mitchell like shows it in glimpses, but they need to have that player that can like, all right,
do it with.
There's 4 minutes left in the fourth. It's a, like kind of contentious game. We need you to fire up, like otherwise we're going to lose this game.
Well, I think,
so I think that's like they kind of need to rely on someone like, and that's going to get them deeper in the playoffs. Like they'll knock off the Warriors, but like they'll need like that extra kind of like star, like power to kind of like get them through like the later rounds.
Yeah, I think, and it could be like our man Australian Joe Ingles who could be that guy to step up because he can sort of do it all. He's sort of like a point guard, point forward. He runs the offense a lot of the time.
You love to say
he's a great passer. He shoots the lights out. So he's the kind of guy, if he could step and make that next step to being just like having a really good playoff, and sort of helping Donovan out, sharing the offensive load, then maybe they could like really make a deep run.
Yeah, 100%. Next, which again a bit of an it's a bit similar to kind of like the Bucks Knicks vibe, is Suns Lakers. Just Suns has been stitched up with this one.
I think, I don't know, this series is weird because I think the Suns have won like the season series in the regular season, but that never matters.
Yeah.
And
especially this year when the Lakers haven't had their players.
Yeah. And yeah, like obviously the Lakers are the champs. You're assuming LeBron's coming back. AD's back in form. He dropped what, 38 the other night?
Yeah.
When they won.
And, well, it was like 42.
Yeah, 42. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it could be like a Lakers sweep almost.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Phoenix have had such a good year, that would be probably stiff to say that against them. So I think, and I don't think Chris Paul's going to get swept by LeBron.
That's what I was going to say. No. Like, you got arguably the two smartest players in the NBA with him, LeBron and CP3.
So I think,
what are your thoughts on
that? I feel like this is probably the hardest series to pick because you also could make a case for the Suns winning the series because they've got home court.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'd probably back the Lakers in 6.
Yeah.
You know, like at the end of the day, apart from Chris Paul, this is Booker's first time in the playoffs. It's Ayton's first time. It's a lot of the players' first time.
Probably going to be bricking it a little bit.
Yeah, and like that, you know, I think they'll probably be a bit, Yeah, like shocked because they got the second seed. They would have thought they were going to play like the Blazers or
yeah.
you know, the Mavs or the Grizzlies or the Warriors. But instead, now they're going to run into LeBron and AD.
The defending champs, who are, yeah.
you know, going to want something to prove. And yeah, I'd say Lakers in six.
Yeah, well, I guess for me, I kind of like see the Lakers kind of in a similar way to like kind of the Richmond Tigers. Like you're never really going to
write them off.
You're not going to write them off until they're actually out of the playoffs or the finals. Like I'm just not going to kind of like go against one LeBron and especially just like the defending champs. So I think they win the series. And again, this series is very heavily based on health. Like because if LeBron's out, I just don't. I think the Suns.
Well, then it's a completely different story. Then the Suns will win
in like 5 or 6. Yeah. So yeah, I do think the Lakers win if they're healthy. But if even either AD or LeBron out, I think the Suns win. But yeah, I think overall, if it's fully healthy, I think the Lakers win in. I'm going to say the Lakers in six.
Yeah. Or if AD gets re-injured, but he keeps playing, but he's really rusty, maybe. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, like I feel like LeBron's never going to be rusty. If he plays, he's going to be playing well.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And then we've got Clippers versus Mavs, so a repeat of last year.
Yeah, I think that was the best series ever last year when Luka awesome. Hit that ridiculous buzzer beater in like game four, I think it was.
It's unbelievable.
Again, this will be a great series, and I think this will probably go seven.
Yep.
The Mavs started really badly. I think they were like 8-13 at one point.
Yeah.
And since then, they've just been really hot. It doesn't seem to matter if Porzingis plays or not. Sometimes they play better without him.
Yeah.
Luka's just insane. And they've just got like they've got a really good team around him that just kind of fits.
Yeah, there's Tim Hardaway's been stepping up. They've kind of had a few players that have kind of just been firing up a bit. So they're looking like much better coming into this year compared to last year. Even though I don't feel like they took the step that everyone kind of hoped that they would because they thought, Luka is literally already LeBron James, which is just not. But I think overall, like they've taken a step, but like not like a massive one.
Mm.
But I do think they'll want to really take it to the Clippers.
Yeah.
It'll be really disappointing if they're out in five games, something like that. Mm. Because especially, obviously, like, and you mentioned like the Porzingis and Luka, like, and you said that like Porzingis, like they sometimes play better without him. They just don't mesh perfectly. Yeah, it's just kind of hard.
He's a bit of a liability, Porzingis, because against some teams, he's really good because, you know, he can block the rim and like take... Like, if he was playing against Utah, he'd be mint because he can take Gobert away from the paint because he can shoot so well.
Yeah.
But then against some other teams, he's just like a bit of a liability because he's like so skinny and...
Exactly.
If he's not shooting well...
And definitely, like, since his injuries, he plays, like, way more outside than inside. So, like, I remember in the Knicks days, he'd, like,
he'd get bored. Big
dunks.
Yeah.
And, like, he's, like, you're seeing less and less of that.
Yeah.
Whether that's, like, him losing confidence in his health, in his, like, knees or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I do think... But now the Clippers, I think they've been pretty impressive this year. Because they're kind of flying a bit more under the radar, I think that could help, especially players like PG, who have, like, in the past, like... get a bit scared in the playoffs. Mm. But I think Kawhi's like I looked at Kawhi's stats the other day and like he's got amazing stats. It's like 25-6-5 something like that, which is like for anyone like it's amazing, but shooting for like whatever 100%. Reason, it just doesn't seem as kind of like
the whole team's gone under the radar this year. Which is probably a good thing for them after what happened last year.
Yeah.
I feel like they're definitely a massive chance for the chip.
Yeah.
And no one really thinks about them.
Yeah.
In the way they did last year. Probably because they imploded last year. But obviously Doc's gone now. Tyronn Lue's like got them playing pretty mint ball. And yeah, I think they like I'd almost back them for the chip. I don't know what they're paying, but if they're paying like $10, then not a bad bet.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably win this in seven.
Yep, seven. I hope it goes to seven, that'd be awesome. I agree. I also think them getting rid of Lou Williams was big because I think I love Lou Williams. Don't get me wrong. Like, I reckon
he became a bit of like a chucker.
He's an absolute baller, but I think his reputation kind of got a bit bigger than his actual ability.
Mm.
Where like people were kind of like backing him down the stretch and he was actually just always jacking up a shot.
Yeah.
But like just didn't like actually really have it. Because I think like he's a great player to watch, but I just think that like he generally didn't actually have like anything on his resume like other than those six man of the year, but like in regards to the playoffs, I just don't think he was like definitely. That. Like
is that and Trez useful. As well? Trez like sort of thought he was this jet.
Yeah, exactly.
They were like this combo off the bench during the regular season. And then, when it came to the playoffs,
and we've seen the Clippers just like flourish kind of like without them. Mm. And then the last series in the West is Nuggets versus Blazers. which is an interesting one, I think.
Yeah, I think this will be another close one. Because I think if the Blazers got the Clippers, they'd probably get beaten easily.
Yeah.
But I think without Murray and with sort of Portland's like three guards now with Norman Powell, Dame, CJ and Powell, I think this will be a really high-scoring series.
There's no defense. Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting because like Jokic is going to be the MVP, and then you've got Dame who just plays with the biggest chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be an interesting dynamic. But I think the Nuggets will win because they've got home court, and it's tough for me to say, but Jokic is probably just better than Dame as a player.
Yeah.
Just because he's bigger, and you know, I think what Denver will do is what every team does to Dame in the playoffs, and they'll triple team him, double team him, and force the ball into, you know, CJ's hands or Norman Powell's hands.
Yeah.
And I think once you do that, Portland become way less threatening because Dame's the biggest threat because he can shoot from anywhere. He's like Steph.
Yeah.
He can shoot from anywhere. I guess the thing is for the Blazers, if they can get, like today Nurkic played really well against Gobert.
He frustrates me so much.
Yeah, Nurkic. He's frustrating. But if he can have like a really mint series against Jokic, then the Blazers are a massive chance. But I think Nuggets in six or seven.
Yeah, I feel like the Nuggets have kind of just a bit more like kind of set up for and especially with Porter Jr.
Yeah. He's like the X factor.
Yeah, like he's been playing like much better, and I think he's had to step up as well with Jamal Murray out, which actually might like be generally good for his career as well. But yeah, I think the Nuggets win. I'd love the Blazers to win. I really like the Nuggets. I like Jokic, but because, especially with the Warriors, like not really being a huge kind of like juggernaut this playoffs, this could be a good year for Dame to actually like kind of like bring it, and the Blazers to actually advance, because I swear the Warriors knock him out every year. So I think, yeah, I wouldn't mind the Blazers winning. That's what my like heart is saying, but I think the Nuggets will win.
I think Dame and the Blazers will be thinking like, this is our chance to make the finals or make the Western Finals again, because like it is such an open year,
especially with injuries. It
wouldn't surprise me if the Blazers won this, but yeah, I think I'm the same. Like heart with Portland, but head just with the Nuggets.
Agreed. Okay, and then like a kind of like a final little segment. Give me like three or four like players that you think have like the most to prove in the playoffs.
Well, I made a little list, and go like on. I sort of reasoned them all.
Yep.
So I think Giannis is probably number one. He obviously, as you mentioned before, he won two MVPs in a row and then flopped in the playoffs. You know, they were up 2-0 against Toronto, against Kawhi, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing 4-2. And then last year, they just melted down against the Heat. So I think he's got to prove that his game extends to the playoffs and that he can, because I think once a team sets up for him and has like, you know, weeks to prepare for his game and then the rest of the Bucks game, they seem to be able to clamp him a bit.
Yeah.
And because he can't shoot that well,
he
becomes this guy who's like a bit easier to guard because you just pack the paint,
and
you know, then you force like Middleton to become the guy, or whatever it is. So I think he's got a lot to prove, and it would be great to see him prove it because he seems like a pretty nice guy.
I'm rooting for Giannis. Yeah. I like the Bucks as well, and I think now I'm really pleased that Drew Holiday has stayed healthy as well, because I think it's good that they've all like they've got their kind of big three. I wouldn't really call it a big three, but like I don't know, big 2.5.
Yeah.
But they're like I really hope Giannis fires up because I think not that no one deserves a championship, but I do think that like he's been good enough at like a particular level for a while that he kind of like does deserve some silverware to, like other than like MVPs to kind of like set his kind of like staple on the league.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I've got one here, PG, who I love myself some Paul George. as a basketball fan, when PG's firing, he's one of the smoothest operators to watch.
Absolutely.
I love watching PG. I loved him at Indiana. I enjoyed him at OKC. Unfortunately, Dame waved him off. But then I'm enjoying him at the Clippers as well. And this year, he's kind of fired up again. His shoulders look healthy. I love PG. I'm like Skip Bayes has that call. What is it, George Paul?
Yeah, George Paul,
which kills. But I think he's got quite a lot to prove because otherwise He'd be in his 30s now, like 31, 32, something like that, I assume. And I think if he doesn't do it now, it's just not going to happen. And I think it could really lead down the line to, like, Kawhi kind of, like, asking management to get rid of him and stuff like that.
Yeah, Kawhi leaves.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think it could be
It's
really big, not only just for PG's, like, career, but in regards to just, like, he might just get shipped off to some random crummy team.
Yeah, I think, I feel like if he lets them down again, Kawhi's not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And I think, like, he should have such a good series because, or such a good playoffs, because Kawhi's always going to take the number one defender.
That's what you think. And so you think.
Yeah. So, that's a great point. I think he's had so many missed opportunities. And, you know, last year the Clippers just, like, imploded.
Yeah.
Against the Nuggets. But, yeah, another one for me is Kawhi, actually. So another Clippers player. Not in terms of he has anything to prove in the playoffs, because he's won two chips, two finals MVPs, and we know how clutch he is.
Yeah.
But more, I think there was talk when the Raptors won the chip, there was sort of talk this, like, he could be the best player in the league.
Yeah, I like this. Well, do you remember when the league first came back, everyone was saying he's better than LeBron?
Yeah. That's... And, like, you know, he is, like, one chip away from it being a top 10 all-time player. So if he wants that to happen...
Baloney.
Yeah. If he wants that to happen, I think he's got to, you know, at least make the finals and maybe win the chip. And... You know, he can't allow for what happened last year to happen again, where I think in that game, was it game 6 or game 7 against the Nuggets?
Where he
only had like 7 points and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And he just wasn't himself.
Pretty sure it was game 6.
Yeah, game 6. Yeah. And like, that's just, there's no excuses for that when you're meant to be like a top 3 player in the league.
Yeah.
So, in terms of, he's got to prove himself in terms of validating all the sort of hype around him being like the best player in the league.
Yeah, I guess the Clippers have something to prove.
Yeah.
I've got CP3. And I love CP3. I think everyone maybe not love him as a bloke, because he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
But in regards to just his play style and how he kind of like is so composed all the time, kind of just like runs at his own pace.
He's like Sam Mitchell.
Yeah.
Of basketball.
He's
like not like that athletic, but his brain is that good.
Exactly. And you really like wonder like what CP3 would look like if he was 6'6".
Yeah.
Like because he would be probably similar to LeBron. Like he would actually like be like that type of player. Just like that high IQ athlete. But I think unfortunately for him, he's just had a few just kind of like the Clippers, when he was at the Clippers, they kind of got the party kind of got crashed by the Warriors, and like I think the Clippers were trending to be that kind of like big kind of like West team, but then the Warriors kind of took that away from them. And I think he's got a lot to prove this year. Not to prove in regards to, everyone knows he's an absolute stud, but in regards to just like his playoff like resume. But like I think if they could like make it to the West Finals or something like that, I think that would be really kind of like good for his career, because he looks way better now than he did in Houston. He's healthier. Like apparently he's gone vegan. Like apparently that's the trick. But yeah, I think he's like generally needs to have a big playoff like series, because he is running out of years.
Yeah, like what is he, like 36?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a great point. I think he, like him and Harden just never quite clicked in Houston. Yeah. And now like in Phoenix, he's like obviously like the elder statement. He's the vet.
Yeah.
The gun veteran. Because the rest of the team's so young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he could, you know, win the chip or, you know, make a finals or a West Finals with this team, that would really validate his legacy and show just how good he is.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, he's completely flipped the Suns around. I know they were, like, getting better
training, but, like, he's still good. And it's quite rare. Like, I think...
Now they're the 2 seed.
Like it's rare that, like, 36-year-olds are the best players on the team. And with the, like, with the Lakers and the Suns, like, their old bull is their best player. It's pretty cool. Do you have anyone else?
Yeah, well, Harden.
Yeah.
I think if he... Like, they should win the chip just on their talent alone.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got three of the, like, weirdest, like, personalities in that team. So, anything could happen. But, yeah, he's obviously just never had an amazing playoffs. You know, like... I can remember back in like 2015 against the Warriors when, you know, like...
Which one? Went off,
yeah. But like the one where like the ball went off his foot.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many moments where he's just come up short. And he shouldn't now, because KD is the guy. So there's no pressure on Harden.
I was about to say...
If he doesn't deliver it, like playing for this stacked team, then he's just probably not the player we thought he was.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's a lot to prove, and I think it's championship or bust for the Nets.
Yeah.
So, and he's had, when he was healthy before he got injured, he was having a pretty,
like, he was trending towards MVP level. Yeah, like he was.
But yeah, he dogged the Rockets. He sort of stuffed them with his antics early in the year. So he's got a lot to prove. And I think, yeah, for the Nets, they have to win a chip.
Yeah, I agree. I think he might, well, if he as you kind of said, if he doesn't perform well now, being like surrounded by KD and Kyrie, then he's just never going
to
do
it. Also because like he doesn't have to take the shot. Like,
well, he hasn't Kyrie. Been. Like, he's been like such a like good facilitator for the Nets. But I think, and especially for the Nets, it's always going to be championship or bust when you put a team like that together. Like, I'm like, as we saw with KD going to the Warriors, like if you don't win a chip, like you LeBron just get absolutely you just get absolutely toasted in the in the media. But yeah, I agree. He's got a lot to prove, and he's getting old as well. He's like 32. And doesn't particularly like look after himself as much as the other some other players. So yeah, we'll see how he goes. Well, thanks for coming on, Yags. Episode one, finally. But yeah, you're doing a podcast at the moment for the Rebels. So do you want to just like kind of like tell our listeners about it?
Yeah, so it's called Rebels Yell. It's available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those platforms. Also on the Rebels website. And it's me and Gordon Bray, who's my mentor, and he's been great, and he's a legendary rugby commentator. And we discuss all things Rebels, player interviews, where we sort of go into the story of their career and how they got involved in rugby, which is really fun. And I'm having a great time. It's awesome. Going well, so yeah.
Good to hear. Well, thanks again for coming on, and we'll catch up again after round one.
Definitely.